Highlights of Dawn. July 2022. Jerusalem, the Holy City. First John saw the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21 verse 2. There are scores of cities mentioned in the Bible, and some of them are used symbolically in the sacred word. One of these is Jerusalem. In the time of Abraham, Jerusalem, which means habitation of peace, was known by the name of Salem, simply meaning peace. Melchizedek was then king of Salem, and in welcoming Abraham he brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Genesis 14 verse 18. Centuries later, King David conquered Jerusalem and made it his capital. He called it the City of David. 2 Samuel 5 verse 4 through 9. Under David and his son Solomon, Jerusalem became the religious center of all the tribes of Israel. After the country was divided into two kingdoms, Jerusalem remained the capital of Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, where its successive kings reigned. In the reign of Zedekiah, the last king of Judah, Jerusalem was captured by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who destroyed it. 2 Kings 25 verse 1 through 10. After 70 years captivity in Babylon, the Jews returned to their land and Jerusalem was restored under the leadership of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 12 verse 26 and 27. Jerusalem continued to be the heart of the Hebrew revival after the captivity, until the Greeks later captured it, followed by the Roman Empire. Thus, at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jerusalem was under the rulership of the Roman Empire, although the Jews were allowed a great deal of religious liberty. The Roman government generally refrained from interfering with their worship as long as the Jews did not attempt to hinder the authority of their civil rulers. Because the Jewish religious rulers in Israel at that time desired to get Jesus out of the way, they were glad to appeal to the Roman civil rulers to help them. To procure this help, they charged that Jesus claimed to be a king, which, if true, would have been treason against Rome. Matthew 26 verse 59 through 66. John 19 verse 14 and 15. Jesus' prophecy. Just a few days prior to his death, Jesus said to that generation of Israel, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets, and stones them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Matthew 23 verse 37 through 39. In this prophecy, Jesus uses the city of Jerusalem as representing the entire Jewish polity. "Your house is left unto you desolate," he said. The center of Israel's religious worship had been located on the hill of Zion in Jerusalem, but this was now coming to an end. Within 40 years, the desolation of the literal city of Jerusalem was brought about by the Roman army in AD 70 through 73. Subsequently, for more than 18 centuries, Jerusalem was occupied and came under the rule of numerous nations and peoples. Among these were the Romans, Arabs, Crusaders, Saracens, and finally the Turks. The Turks held Jerusalem until the British occupied it in 1917, during the First World War. Jerusalem then became the military headquarters of the British operation in the region. In 1920, the British civil administration was set up in Jerusalem, and this lasted until the re-establishment of Israel as a nation in May 1948. However, at this time, the city was divided. The Israeli government controlled only the new part of the city located outside the walls, while Arabs controlled the more ancient portion of the city within the walls. These two parts of Jerusalem remained separated for nearly 20 years, but were finally joined under Israel's control at the conclusion of the Six-Day War in June 1967. Today, Jerusalem has a population of just under 1 million people, of which 62% are Jews, and 38% are Arabs. About 4% of the Arab population are Christians of various denominations. The New Jerusalem. We can well understand the high regard the Jews have for the city of Jerusalem. Because of the unique circumstances associated with this particular city, the Lord uses it as a symbol of what the Bible describes as New Jerusalem. We read, And first John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21 verse 2 through 4. Think of the many wars by which ancient Jerusalem has been ravished, with the consequent sorrow, pain, and death. Moreover, these same evils have, through the centuries, afflicted the people of all nations and races. However, these of former things are to pass away with the coming down out of heaven of the New Jerusalem of promise. God's rulership over Israel, beginning with David, was exercised from ancient Jerusalem, and divine rulership over all mankind will come from the New Jerusalem, authorized and empowered by God out of heaven. The throne of David. When the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would be the mother of God's promised Messiah, he explained that this great one would sit upon the throne of his father David. Luke 1 verse 30 through 32. The promise of God was that David's ruling house would be established forever. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever. 2 Samuel 7 verse 16. This promise is to be fulfilled through Jesus. Israel shared in the rulership of the kingdom of David, and could have gone on to share in the rulership of Jesus, the greater David, had they accepted him as a nation when he presented himself to them during his earthly ministry. A few did, and these were given power, or authority, to become the sons of God, in the Christian age then dawning, and thus were made joint heirs with Christ. John 1 verse 11 and 12. Romans 8 verse 17. The kingdom transferred. As a nation, however, Israel rejected Jesus. Just a few days before his death, he said to the chief priests and the elders of Israel, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Matthew 21 verse 43. These are the fruits of humility and obedience which most Israelites of Jesus' day failed to display. Therefore, as a nation, they lost the messianic kingdom privileges of spiritual rulership as joint heirs with Christ, and this was given to another nation. Peter identifies this new nation to which the kingdom privileges were transferred. Addressing the followers of the Master, the Apostle wrote, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God." 1 Peter 2 verse 9 and 10. In other words, the faithful followers of Jesus, regardless of national origin, comprise this nation, to which belong the kingdom privileges once possessed exclusively by the natural descendants of Abraham. Believing and faithful Jews can still share these privileges, but no longer exclusively so. Probably the larger proportion of this group will turn out to be Gentiles. The Apostle James said that God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. This special group is subsequently depicted in the scriptures as the bride, the Lamb's wife. Acts 15 verse 14. Revelation 21 verse 9. The marriage of the Lamb. In Revelation 19 verse 7 and 8 we read, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Thus it becomes evident that the bride, the Lamb's wife, is made up of his faithful followers who suffer and die with him, inspired by the hope of being united with him in glory, and sharing in his thousand-year reign which is designed for the blessing of all the families of the earth. Revelation 3 verse 21, 20 verse 6. Genesis 12 verse 3, 22 verse 18. The work of God in the earth since the death and resurrection of Jesus, therefore, has been largely the gathering out from the world of this people who would share the messianic throne with him. They are called by means of the gospel, and the terms of their calling are a full dedication of themselves to know and to do God's will. It is God's will for these that they walk in Jesus' steps of sacrifice even unto death. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 11 and 12. Revelation 2 verse 10. This bride of class further makes herself ready by being emptied of self-will and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Under the Spirit's influence, they grow in grace, put on the whole armor of God, and produce the various fruits of the Spirit. 2 Peter 3 verse 18, Ephesians 6 verse 13 through 18, Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23. This is the work of a lifetime for each member of the bride class, and when the last one has finished this work, the bride will have made herself ready for the marriage. Not until the marriage of the Lamb takes place can the holy city come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This holy city, the New Jerusalem, is another of the Bible's symbols of the Messianic kingdom. It will be when that kingdom of blessing commences that pain and death will begin to vanish from the earth. When the work of that kingdom is complete, there will be no more pain and death in the earth, for those former things shall have passed away. Two phases. Concerning the Messianic kingdom, Isaiah 2 verse 2 and 3 states, "It shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go, and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." The explanation that the law will go out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem suggests that there will be two phases to the kingdom of Christ, symbolized by Zion and Jerusalem. Zion was the highest point in ancient Jerusalem and well pictures the spiritual, or heavenly, phase of the Messianic kingdom. Revelation 14 verse 1 shows the Lamb, Christ Jesus, standing on Mount Zion and with him those who follow him, whithersoever he goes. Verse 4. This is the bride class, made up of both Jews and Gentiles, who will share in the spiritual rulership of the Messiah. The faithful servants of God who lived prior to Jesus' death and were proven faithful, whom we often speak of as the ancient worthies, will be the perfect human representatives of the divine Christ. Hebrews 11 verse 35 and 39 and 40, 12 verse 23. These are well represented by Jerusalem in Isaiah's prophecy. These intermediaries, while not kings, will be fully the representatives of the Messiah upon the earth as a princes, and will be recognized as such by mankind. Isaiah 32 verse 1, Psalms 45 verse 16, Luke 13 verse 28, Matthew 8 verse 11. In the resurrection they will be restored to human perfection, which will enable them to communicate by some method with those in the spiritual phase of the kingdom, even as God communicated with Adam in some manner before his fall from perfection. Genesis 1 verse 27 through 30. A prophecy referring to the position of the ancient worthies in the kingdom reads, "I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." Isaiah 1 verse 26. While the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21 pictures more particularly the heavenly phase of the Messianic kingdom, the earthly representatives of that symbolic city are appropriately referred to by the prophet as a city of righteousness, not another government or ruling authority, but the human representatives of the one glorious Messianic kingdom. Isaiah's prophecy refers to these human representatives of the kingdom as judges and counselors. Since they will be perfect, their judgments will be just and their counseling wise. The people of all nations will quickly recognize the superior qualities of these faithful ones of old and will be glad to fall in line with their instructions, for it will be discerned that they are speaking and acting on behalf of Christ. Thus, the Messianic kingdom will indeed be an administration of righteousness, with the laws originating in Zion and the word of the Lord going forth from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2 verse 3. The temple. John observed that the holy city, which he saw in vision come down from heaven, had no temple in it. Revelation 21 verse 22. The temple and its services were an important part of ancient Jerusalem, beginning with the reign of Solomon. However, that was merely a symbol of a much better arrangement, in the form of the city which comes down from heaven. John explains that God and the Lamb are the temple in this city. Yet another picture of this government is a throne, the throne of God and of the Lamb. Revelation 22 verse 1. This New Jerusalem is not a city made up of literal buildings and walls. We remember Jesus' reply to the woman of Samaria concerning the proper place to worship. He said, "The hour comes, when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." John 4 verse 21 and 23 and 24. The New Jerusalem is a beautiful picture of the Messianic kingdom arrangements. All those arrangements, and the personnel associated with them, spiritual and human, will direct the people of all nations to worship, not in a particular city nor in a literal temple, but to revere and honor, in their places of abode and from their hearts, God and His beloved Son. The Lamb will be the light of that city, and its brightness will guide the nations into the true worship of God, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve Him with one consent. Revelation 21 verse 23. Zephaniah 3 verse 9. The Messianic kingdom is not of human origin and is not established by human wisdom and strength. It is God's arrangement for the blessing of the sin-cursed and dying race. This arrangement calls for the exercise of divine power in the resurrection of the dead, first, Jesus, and at this end of the present gospel age, those who are brought forth in the first resurrection, to live and reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 1 verse 5, 20 verse 6. Then, as previously noted, there will be the better resurrection of the ancient worthies to perfection of human nature to be the representatives of the divine Christ. Hebrews 11 verse 35 and 40. Finally, there will be the resurrection of all the dead, Jews and Gentiles. John 5 verse 28 and 29, Acts 24 verse 15, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22. Those Jews at various times who saw their sacred city of Jerusalem pillaged and destroyed will be awakened and learn that there is now a new Jerusalem, an invisible city, or government with Jehovah and His Son, the Lamb which was slain for their redemption, to give them light, guidance, health and life. With the establishment of the Messianic kingdom will come the fulfillment of Revelation 22 verse 17, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that hears say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." It is interesting to note that all who hear and respond to this invitation to partake of the water of life will have the opportunity of relaying the invitation to others. We believe that to begin with, many of those who hear and respond will be the Jews who are restored to their land of promise. However, it will not stop with them, for these blessings of life have been provided for all families of the earth. Genesis 12 verse 3, 22 verse 18. Meanwhile, the events taking place in Israel today are among the strong indications that Messiah's kingdom is near. How enthusiastic the Israelites will be when they realize that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets are in their midst to govern and guide them toward a full restoration of health, peace, blessings, and everlasting life. Thank God, also, that this joy will quickly spread to the people of all nations. Let us even now rejoice as we look forward to this glorious time of blessing for all.